6:15. Now, imagine this. 1 in 5 Americans over 85 die completely broke. That's according to data from the University of Michigan's Health and Retirement Study. How do you avoid this trap? How do you actually live until the end of your life comfortably? Bill Dendy is a CPA and money manager at EliteFM.net. EliteFM.net. Bill, great to have you here.
Always a pleasure to be here. Yeah. And I tell you, that study is kind of shocking for a lot of folks, in that we save our entire lives and we think that we're going to be okay at retirement. And then we have the majority of people don't have more than $20,000 at retirement. Mm. And we have 1 in 5 who have absolutely nothing passing away at 85 or older.
What is it that happens, once you get, let's say, over 80? Is there a reason why the money just all disappears?
Well, one of the big reasons is that for a lot of folks, they didn't count on living as long as they're living. So when they're saying people over 85, some of those folks are 90 to 95. And I can remember talking to my grandfather on his 90th birthday. Mm-hmm. He died 14 years ago. And I remember on his 90th birthday, I asked him, did he know anybody when he was growing up that was age 90? And he said, heck no, Bill. The oldest guy we knew in town was like 70. Mm-hmm. And we thought that was as old could get. But my grandfather didn't retire to 70, and he thought life got more fun from 70 to 90. Yeah. But he said by the time he was 90, he looked at 70-year-olds as young people who had their whole life in front of them.
Yeah,
We're living longer, but we still try to retire at 60 to 62 to 65 to maybe 67.
Right. Your grandfather, how are his finances in his 90s?
He was one of the fortunate ones. He was a person who saved aggressively all along the way, never trusted the government to do anything. So he was one of those guys that thought Social Security might not be there for him. Mm-hmm. Would drive clear across town to get a slightly better rate on a CD when they came due, and that was his idea of investing. And that's another thing. It used to be that you'd look at getting 8 to 10% on your CDs, and you didn't have to have as much to get by. Well, retirees today, when they look at interest rates for the very safest investment, near 0%, 1% maybe for a 1-year CD,
they
just don't have enough principal.
I mean, is that part of the issue, that even if they've saved, or even if they're they have that mentality, the interest rates are just so low that they can't make it?
From the 1980s to now, we've had a major decrease in interest rates. Now, they say that's been accompanied by a decrease in inflation.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are a number of folks who will argue that we're still seeing inflation in the areas of groceries and energy and some of the other areas that may not be counted. So we're not getting the returns on the investments. People didn't, they thought they had enough saved up. And then the problem is, once you take out your principal, it means next year you make less interest, forcing them to take out more principal, making even less interest. There's a quick downward spiral.
With the interest rate so low, even if you do save a little mountain for yourself, I mean, do you just end up eating into it because the interest just isn't there?
And that's what happens for a lot of folks. Yeah. Is if they had $1 million saved up and they're investing at 1%, that's $10,000 a year. And that might not be enough. And that's pre-tax. And by the time they put the taxes in, plus what the real cost of living is, plus the cost of living increases each year, they end up having to take out some of that principal, and that's the big challenge.
Tell me this, Bill. If you're, let's say, in your 70s, you're certainly not ready to get back into the workforce, and the money is dwindling, what are your options at that point?
Well, the key is to recognize as soon as possible that we're heading down this wrong path, because the sooner you make a correction, the fewer degrees you have. It's like a journey. You don't have to steer a whole lot of difference if you got a long way to go to make a big difference on the outcome. If you wait till you're knee deep into it or neck deep into it, you have fewer options. So the sooner you can determine, are we going to be okay on this path or not?
Right.
You have more options.
Let me just note that 1 in 5 had no assets other than their houses. Home equity was about $140,000. These reverse mortgages, is that a smart thing to do if you're down to nothing?
Well, that's a challenge for a lot of people, because a reverse mortgage is basically agreeing to sell the house today with the idea that the future owners don't take over until you're no longer using it as your primary residence, either because you move into a nursing home or because of death. And the younger you are, the less they're going to give you for it, because they have more years to wait. However, for a person who is in advanced years, oftentimes a reverse mortgage may allow them to continue with that independence. And I've had people say that you know, the kids don't want the house. They just don't want me to be a burden to them, and I don't want to be a burden to them, so this idea makes sense. But if you do it too early, the reduction is so great, and the challenges on some of these reverse mortgages have been great for some folks, that I would say it only seems to me to make sense for a person who is in advanced years and who has no other options available.
No other.
Now,
are you? Is there a potential for you to be thrown out of your home, or are you guaranteed for that not to happen?
Most reverse mortgages will provide a provision that, provided you're using it as your primary residence, of course, I'm not going to take it. Mm-hmm. The challenge comes into being if you go into a nursing home for a period of time, and you get better, and you don't have the funds for the nursing home, and you don't have the home to go back to.
Wow.
And that's what a lot of people argue about.
Well, so you go to the nursing home, you get better, you've left your house, so that's gone. What happens then?
And that's where we've had the issues with folks, when they say that they are in a position where they can lose the house and they still want to use it as their primary residence. But it's rare. That happens rarely, and some companies will assure you they won't take it until death. And so there are some ways to prevent that. But I guess my point is, this is not something I would venture into without some thought and some expert opinion on it, because they look good on the outside, but sometimes they're not as good on the inside.
It's
a last resort.
The devil's always in the details. Bill Dendy, CPA and money manager. Check him out online. It's elitefm.net. Elitefm.net. Bill, thank you so much.
God bless you. Always a pleasure.